for it to be. This is small town music, this is big town music. He's ahead of his time, you know, but he can't use it. If only he could prove it. Well, tomorrow's just a song away, a song away, a song away.
Hey everybody, welcome to Rock Solid, the comedy podcast for all things music, both new and classic. I'm Pat Francis.
And I'm Courtney Kundel.
You threw the dold in today.
I throw the dold in here and there.
Respect to the hubby.
I gotta respect him.
That's nice.
He's a good husband.
I like it. I like it. Courtney and I were just discussing that Courtney had some food poisoning, and I had the flu, but now we're back.
We were both vomiting a lot, and now we're not.
Thankfully, I didn't have stomach flu. I just had like chills and aches and
that's
pains.
That's awful too.
It is awful. It's every time I'm sick like that, when you get that sick, you always think, I'm never going to get better.
Yeah, I know. It feels like that, it's never going to end.
And then like all of a sudden, like, boom. You're fine.
Well, I actually enjoyed the aftermath of my food poisoning because I've seriously lost like 7 pounds and my jeans are like loose and I'm like, wow, this is great because I'm afraid to eat because I'm afraid I'm going to get sick again. So I'm just eating totally vegan and like, I mean, I eat vegan pretty much most of the time anyway because my husband's vegan, but I'm like so afraid to eat anything. And it's like if anyone says, oh, hey, you look like you lost some weight. And it's like, well, I've been drinking lots of water and I ate a salmon appetizer from Trader Joe's
I lost six pounds too, just by lying in bed for 3 days and not like, I didn't feel like eating.
No, you don't.
I had like a piece of toast, Gatorade, some water. I just didn't feel like it.
Yeah, no. Pedialyte and saltines. Yep. That's the new diet.
I don't recommend it. I don't know if it's the healthy way to go, but,
no.
But it does work.
It does.
Now I haven't weighed myself since because I assume after one day of eating normally, I probably gained back 2 of that, but who knows? Who knows? I'll take it for that one day.
Yeah.
I got on the scale and like, woohoo.
Yeah, it's a good day.
Thank you, Lord.
Mm-hmm. Thanks for the flu.
Courtney, you have a show tomorrow. I mean, this episode isn't going to drop for 2 weeks, but you have an ongoing show called Punchlines and Backlines.
Punchlines and Backlines.
Punchlines relates to stand-up comedy.
And the backline
relates to
music.
In what way? What is the backline? I don't know if I know what that means.
Basically, it is... we have a comedy show, and then I have a rock star who's never done comedy before, and we work together and come up with a 5-minute point of view set based on the conversation we have about their career and their life.
So you're kind of mentoring this non-comedian musician.
Yes.
Okay.
Which is what I really enjoy doing, and I want to make these things work because this is my happy place.
Right.
And it's really fun because then they get up, they get laughs, and it's like a really good feeling. It's a different feeling. Mm-hmm. And everyone always has a great time and always, you know, they're really nervous at first. Then when it's over, they're like, oh my God, that was so fun. I would do that again. It was great.
That's
and
awesome.
Then, yeah, it's great. And I always put them up in the middle of the show and make a really big deal out of it. So they have that nice cushy spot and we make a big deal. And then I have 2 more comedians and then someone close it out. Someone really strong, like Murray, like close it out. Mm-hmm. And then, we have one of the comedians go up and play a song.
Hopefully they, now what's funny is like the musician can go up there and kind of, navigate his way through doing some stand-up.
Yes.
But like, I don't play an instrument. I couldn't really go up there and navigate myself through some music.
I've played guitar for about 20 years, but not well. Like never played in a live situation. I play like at home all the time. I learn songs that I like.
Okay, cool.
But I've never played, and I'm still afraid to do my own show. I haven't done it yet, but I always book a comedian who knows how to sing or play an instrument.
Nice.
So we had Julie Follett on the last show. She sang In Your Eyes with Sam Bam Colton from Butterside.
The Peter Gabriel In Your Eyes?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, so they sang, and it was really good. And Chad Stewart from Faster Pussycat was the comedian rock musician, and he sat on a box and did the box tapping and did some covers, and it was great. And so like after the comedy, we do like 45 minutes of music and it's a really fun show. It's like a no pressure kind of fun hangout show. You're not like trapped in a room. It's a hotel lobby bar.
It sounds like a nice casual type variety show.
It's
chill.
Super chill is chill. The word. Yeah. And I only book like comedians that I know are going to be respectful of the fact that we're in a hotel, A, and be funny and have fun with the music. Like, right, everybody exactly. stays for the whole show. They stay till 11.
That's good.
Yeah, because it's fun.
And what's the venue? Tell us the venue.
It's at the Grafton Hotel on Sunset. It's right across the street from the Comedy Store. It's like in the corner of La Cienega and Sunset.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I
and
know exactly where
they're kind of like known as like the rock and roll hotel. And, you know, they have like posters of like mostly the bands I like, and you like that glam rock.
Yeah,
era,
yeah, yeah.
Like, you know, the band we're going to talk about today.
Absolutely.
And that's who like stays at the hotel. The guy who was like championing our show, he actually left, which is a bummer because he's the one.
Is a bummer.
He's the one who was bringing in all those rock stars to stay there. He would like hook them up and he's gone. So I don't, hopefully they keep that vibe because I think that's what's so great about that place and that bar is you never know who's going to walk in there.
No.
Like Dennis Rodman came to our first show and you
wow.
know, we had all the guys from Faster, you know, we had a couple of guys from Faster Pussycat at the last show and like, they're amazing. And we have Mike Dawson on this show from the Adam Carolla show. And he's in a band called The Smoking Kills.
Cool.
And yeah, it's going to be fun.
I know Mike. I've met Mike before.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nice. All right. Great. Well, that's ongoing. Is it like, is it the
every month?
Every month. Is it the first Thursday? It's second
last
Thursday?
Thursday.
Last Thursday. That's mm-hmm. what I wanted. So the Grafton Hotel, last Thursday of every month, Punchlines and Backlines. If you live in the Los Angeles area, you can plan now
yes.
for the show in February.
Yes.
All right, cool. Okay, Courtney, here we are. We are about to talk about a glam, pop, rock,
yeah.
metal. Do you not like the term hairband? I don't mind that. I don't mind that.
Well, now they have no hairband. It's like, it's receding hairline bands
yes.
now.
yes. The bandana goes higher and higher and higher
does.
On the head.
And the hats get bigger.
or both. Or Brett Michaels, you wear a couple of hats.
He does both. I know a lot of guys who wear a bandana
Many
and
hats.
A hat. Yeah. I don't mind the term hairband.
I don't either.
I don't know what the band's like. I say glam rock because it's like, it's not totally glam rock like David Bowie glam.
Yeah.
Like
it's more sweet.
It is. It's like sweet. It's like hidden underneath the metal is great power pop.
Right.
So it's like those two came together and made that sound. That's what I think. And those are the bands I really like.
That's a good call. That's
from
a
that
good call.
Scene. Mm-hmm.
The but Poison is they're like I feel like they're like front and center of this.
For sure.
I mean, I just, they're the band I think of when we talk about this hair metal pop glam, you know.
You think of them
mash
first.
I do think of them.
Yeah, you do. And when I write material about the music for, you know, the other comedians I work for and whatever, when they're opening for bands and stuff, Poison's a punchline a lot.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of bands are punchlines.
Because they're pretty, because they're all really super good looking and they're pretty, you know?
I find a lot of bands that are punchlines, I mean, look.
Not in a bad way.
Not in a bad way, but like, you know, Toto is a punchline, or Yes can be a punchline.
Yes can be a, Rush is a punchline. I just wrote a joke about Rush for somebody.
And no one would ever say that Rush isn't amazing, but they are a punchline. And they would probably, they would laugh that off. But,
of course.
But, I don't know. I don't know what sense of humor Poison would have about being a punchline, but
I don't know. I don't know if I've ever worked in any way with any of them. I haven't. So
I met Brett, and I got to tell him that a song he wrote for his daughter is one of my favorite songs. A song called Rain.
Uh huh.
And he was like really, because I'm sure a lot of people just go like, Poison and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
But I like to, and I wasn't just kissing his ass. I really do love that song,
mm-hmm.
but I could just see on his face. He's like, that really means a lot to me is what he said.
Yeah. You work hard. You want to hear, you know, I always tell my friends or my sister, whoever I'm with, after we go to a show and there's a chance to speak to the band,
mm-hmm.
I always say, we need to go up and tell them how great they were.
Yeah.
You know, no matter where we are, like anything, I always do that comedy show, but any performer, if we have a chance to speak to them, I always take the time to thank them for the show and tell them how great they were.
Yeah. I agree.
Yeah.
Have you seen Poison live?
Yes, I have. I actually was at the 91 MTV Video Music Awards.
Oh, when the big meltdown, when CC called an audible and didn't say the word. Change the tune, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I was there, but I was in high school. I used to go, like, my dad used to get tickets for it mm-hmm. at his job, and they didn't want to go. They didn't give a shit. So they used to give it to their daughters and sons.
Wow.
So we'd go. And I was a senior in high school for that one. And I do remember it. And it was obvious. that he
something
messed
was up. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It was obvious. But I didn't know until much later, like years and years later, that they got into a huge fist fight backstage after that.
It's so funny because I feel like Bret Michaels could pound CeCe DeVille in a fight.
Oh, yes. He's a little dude.
Yeah.
He's a little dude. And you know what's funny is I've heard like so many stories about Poison just from other friends mm-hmm. and stuff. Like I have a friend who's toured with them and opened for them, and he's told me a lot of stories. And a lot of them involve fights.
It's all fighting.
They're scrappers.
That's hysterical.
Bret Michaels kicks some ass.
Bret still looks great. He's still physically fit.
Yeah,
for aneurysms and diabetes and yeah. all the health concerns that he's had over the years.
Yeah,
I also find that I don't hear any salacious stories about Poison. Like you hear about they had drug use, but it doesn't.
None of it's shocking.
No, but no. You never hear that they were hitting girlfriends or, you know what I mean?
No.
You know what I mean? They seem.
No, and you never hear like they were total assholes.
No.
Well, I haven't.
No, I haven't either.
Not that
we would know everything, but
no.
we know it enough.
I mean, I did hear this one story from my friend that used to open for them that they got into a fight with their opening band, who I can't remember who it was, because they were stealing their groupies.
Okay.
And they were being really possessive of the groupies, and Bobby like punched someone in the face.
Bobby Dahl seems like a scrapper for some reason to me.
Yeah.
He seems like a loose cannon.
Yeah. He punched someone in the face, he said, like was going off on this guy.
Well, that's rock and roll, I guess.
Yeah.
All right, so Poison, they originate from kind of my neck of the woods. They're from Pennsylvania. I mean, that's where they migrated here from
mm-hmm.
and then ended up on the Sunset Strip and they got signed, but not by a big label at first. It was Enigma Records. Their mm-hmm. first album's on Enigma. I think that was then swallowed up by Capitol.
Mm-hmm.
But that first album, Look What the Cat Dragged In, sold 3 million copies.
That's nuts.
Another thing about Poison is I think individually, and you tell me what you think. Like no one ever says Bobby Dahl is the best bassist and Ricky Rocket's the best drummer and CeCe DeVille is the best guitarist. But you put them together
mm-hmm.
and that's where they shine. They really shine as a band. You know what I'm saying?
I agree. I mean, but when you see like...
That's not diminishing any of their talent.
No,
I'm just saying. Like, you know, you can pull Slash out of Guns N' Roses and people are going to say, Slash is a great guitarist.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know that the members of Poison get those individual accolades.
No, but they should, I think.
I mean, I love the way
CeCe, I mean, he was so like, I don't know. He could swallow up the stage. He could,
yeah.
I mean, he was the one who would upstage the band.
As far as personality. Yeah. They have that in spades, and the way that Ricky Rocket drums
yeah.
is so fun to watch.
I love Ricky,
you know, with the arms are flailing and the spinning and mm-hmm. and all that stuff. Like the pointing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like he doesn't, you know, he doesn't have to have a drum riser that spins upside down. He's the show.
His
drumming is the show.
Mm-hmm.
And Brett's a great front man and he looks good,
mm-hmm.
which a front man, I think that's part of your job. You got to keep up
yeah.
appearances.
And Bobby moves a lot for a bass player.
Yes, he does. And
he moves a lot.
He wears the bass kind of low and he's, mm-hmm. So I'm not diminishing them as individuals. I'm just saying I feel like together
mm-hmm.
Poison is a thing.
Yes.
A big thing. All right. So Look What the Cat Dragged In. 3 million copies.
That's crazy.
It's incredible. I remember I worked at record stores around this time and I remember people thought they were girls
mm-hmm.
on the front of that. Is that the new Vixen album? Is that Femme Fatale? No, those are dudes. What? But what song do you have for us first, Courtney, to kick off Look What the Cat Dragged In?
I have Poison's version of a date rape song. I Want Action.
Here we go.
Tonight, satisfaction.
Courtney's telling me that we've heard it. We've get it. We got it.
We get it. It's a great, that's a great song.
It is a great song. I'm going to go with the title track because I just love it. I think they still play like at least three, maybe four songs off of this album when they tour.
Yeah, they usually open with Look What the Cat Dragged In.
Let's go.
I do like that one.
Yeah, I like that one too. By the way, there's no one else that would ever do a Poison episode with me. Seriously, you're it. I mean, I just not that I was looking. You just immediately popped in my head. I'm like, wonder if Courtney, she's gotta love Poison. She's gotta like it.
Of course. You know what I wanted to say about I Want Action? By the way, if anyone wrote that song now and it came out now, they would be in so much trouble because there's this line where it goes. Where'd it go? I need a shot and I need it fast. If I can't have her, I'll take her and make her get him a shot. I think he means make her get him a shot of something to drink.
Maybe.
You know, I mean, it's not like they need to make anybody do anything. There was a line out the door for these guys. I mean,
yeah, I would assume these guys had no problem scoring chicks.
No, God, no. I mean, look, Bret Michaels, he had like a whole house of women fighting over him. And those are just the ones that got picked for the show. There's probably 1,000 that applied. You
I
know?
So forgot about Rock of Love.
Oh,
and
my God,
I used to watch
it
and I forgot
show.
About it, though.
Oh, I loved it. I loved it.
What, they get a backstage pass, right? Is that what they would get? They get a pass?
No, they were going to be his girlfriend.
No, I mean, instead of a rose, didn't they give them a pass?
Oh, I think so, maybe. I don't remember. Oh, no, they gave him herpes. That's what they did.
That's the show. Like, I do assume there was some fooling around behind the scenes.
Oh, God, yeah. Of course. I'm sure there were threesomes, foursomes.
But didn't Brett live with the wife of his, the mother of his kids at the time he was doing that show?
He might have. It is a reality show. It's not real. And the producers totally made him pick the girl, Jesse, even though he really connected with Heather, who was the stripper. I think that the show made him pick the other girl, which I don't get. They had no chemistry.
I don't get it at all when they do stuff like that.
He had so much chemistry with the other girl. Like, it was so obvious. And then the sad one was there was this girl named Rodeo on the show. Mm-hmm. And like,
I remember the name.
Yeah. She was gorgeous, but she looked at him with like these crazy eyes. Like, you know, if we broke up, I would probably kill you or definitely stalk you kind of look.
Yeah.
And then, you know, she got, they wanted to keep her because she was the crazy one, you know, so they
always need the crazy one.
You do. I mean, I've kind of felt sad for her. Like, she was a single mom and she was like, you know, but she definitely had that look in her eyes like, oh my God, if this doesn't work out, I probably will murder you and stalk you forever. Like, she just was a little bit scary.
They did 2 seasons of that, didn't they?
They did
2 seasons.
The second season had nothing on the first season.
No.
I don't even think I finished watching it because I couldn't tell you who he picked.
Yeah, you got to, And then Brett was also on The Apprentice.
Yep.
They still sell his Snapple flavor.
Really?
Troppo Rocker. They still sell it.
That's
like it's
cool.
An ongoing, because I think it's a diet flavor because of his diabetes.
Yeah.
And I think it's, but I know for a fact they still sell it.
Good for him.
Good for you, Brett.
Yeah.
Okay, let's go with your second song from Look What the Cat Dragged In. I know what it is. I see it. I just want you to say it. It's on your list.
Oh, I'm sorry. Cry Tough. I'm sorry. I thought you were just going to play it. Sorry. Cry Tough.
Put the top down, roll the windows down, turn it up. These are great songs just to jam out to. Play drums on the steering wheel.
Yeah,
sing along.
It's inspirational. You got to cry tough out on the streets.
That's true.
If you want to make, and in this video, Brett Michaels looks like Dolly Parton. It is just like amazing.
I'll have to go back and look.
Out of control the hair and makeup is in this one. I think they were like, we don't want to do that again. I think we need to tone it down just a tad.
Let's do it as big as possible for this one, and then we'll tone it down.
I mean, if you squint your eyes just a little bit, you're like, here you come again. Like, it just looks like Dolly.
The producer of this album was Rick Browd, if I'm pronouncing that right. B-R-O-W-D-E. But I don't know who that is. I've never heard his name. Don't recall seeing his name on other albums. I'm sure he's done other stuff. But I think at one time, Paul Stanley was going to produce their first album.
Really?
Yeah.
That's cool.
That's what I don't know why I've heard that, but I did. And that would make sense. He would have been good.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I got to play Talk Dirty to Me.
Oh my God, I hate this song.
You hate it?
I hate this song.
Whoa, look at this happening. I was wondering why it wasn't on your list. Why
don't
you like
it?
You don't like you don't like anything about it.
I hate the pre-chorus. It just bugs me.
Okay. That's weird. It's a big hit.
I don't like this song.
I don't like.
Yeah, but I don't think it's like even close to the best song on this record. It's weird to me that it's the big hit. But anyway.
Yeah, I mean, it's
not catchy.
It's not
catchy.
As good as Look What the Cat Dragged In.
No,
sure.
No.
Okay, here we go.
You'd think he'd get a hotel room. I mean, he's in the bushes, he's in his parents' basement, in his dad's car. Like, just get a hotel room.
He almost sounds like a loser. He makes himself sound like a loser. This does have CC pick up that guitar and talk to me, though.
That is cool. That is the cool part.
Kind of iconic.
It is iconic, yeah. It is the cool part. I just think the song was so overplayed, I'm just burnt on it, I think.
Yeah, it's probably the first song that I heard them do or saw them do.
And
of course, on MTV.
Me too.
All right, we're moving on to Open Up and Say Ah.
This is a good album.
It's from 1988. This went 5 times platinum.
Yeah, I bought this one. I own Look What the Cat Dragged In, too. I just don't love it, but I like this one a lot.
Yeah, Look What the Cat Dragged In has some filler.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. This one is just like boom, 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 boom.
Tom Werman produced this because the guys from Poison are Big Cheap Trick fans, and Tom Werman also worked with Motley Crue, and he's a good, and Ted Nugent, so he's a good go-to producer for these guys.
Yeah, I see the Cheap Trick influence a little bit, not on this one, but maybe on the next one.
Is it hard to believe that this album cover was censored?
It's just gross looking,
but I mean, Open Up and Say Ah, and it's got this, it's a girl dressed as a cat with a big tongue, but they censored it. They like put black bars over everything but the eyes. This isn't anything to censor, though.
No, not to censor. It's a little disturbing look. It's weird they chose that when they're also good looking.
Yeah.
They put like a scary woman on the front. I don't understand whose idea that was. It's not a good one. And it doesn't, when you look at the cover, you think this album sucks. And then when you listen to it, you're like, oh my God, this is so good. Yeah. Why is that the cover? It's so uninviting. Yeah.
But then the censored cover doesn't help sell move units either.
No.
It's so stupid. They should have either redesigned the whole thing.
Yes.
But well, what are you going to do? What else is I going to say about Poison? They have a logo. From the get-go, Poison has a logo, which I like.
Yeah.
Like when someone gets a logo and then they stick with the logo, I think that's smart.
Yeah, that's a good point.
AC/DC. Cheap Trick. I mean,
Kiss.
Van Halen. Kiss. Right. Kiss. Iron Maiden. I mean, these bands, they've had those logos since the beginning.
Saxon.
It's Saxon. It's important. Yeah. I know you're into Saxon now.
I am right now because I had a job that had to do with Saxon. So I had to listen to a bunch.
What job do you have that has to do with Saxon?
I was writing for someone who was doing something with Saxon. So I had to learn all this stuff about Saxon.
Is it a documentary? Is there a Saxon documentary?
No. No, there is one, though. It's like six hours long. Is it on
YouTube, probably?
I don't know where it is. I think it's a DVD and you have to buy it, but it's literally 6 hours of Saxon and lost footage and concert footage. And, you know, I've never seen it. I don't think I could do that, but I kind of got into them. They're very interesting. If you need to know anything about Saxon, I'm an expert now.
They have so much music.
They do.
So much.
They do.
All right, here we go. We got the songs are credited to all of the band members.
Yeah, that's cool.
Like, I think a lot of people might think that Brett writes all the songs, you know, because he's the lead singer and because he has solo material. But no, I think it's fair. I mean, I've said this a million times in this show.
It's fair.
There's no way that, like, the guy who wrote the song also came up with the bass part or the drum fill or everyone's contributing to that song.
Right, unless it's Peter Criss. Everyone contributes.
Right. But when I read you know, songs by Joe Perry and Steven Tyler, I'm like, there's no way Brad Whitford and Tom Hamilton and Joey Kramer didn't have some input in these tunes, guys.
Right.
On every one of them.
Yeah, I mean, that makes sense to us, but you know how bands love to fight over money.
Who knows? okay, what's your first tune off of Open Up and Say Ah?
The obvious, but it's iconic, and I think it's a great rock song, and it represents that era like so beautifully. Mm-hmm. It's,
great video.
Oh, it's a great video. Nothing but a good time. It don't get better than this.
It's quite a step up production-wise.
Big time.
From the first album. The first album is a little loose and sloppy and sounds a little tinny. There's not a lot of bass. But this, Tom Werman knows what he's doing.
Yeah, this song is so... I love the harmonies. I love everything about it. And one thing about Poison, I find like listening to their entire catalog, which I've never done. Mm-hmm.
Until now?
Just listen to all of it. No, there's two albums I've never even heard.
Okay.
So it was, you know, kind of fun listening to those. One thing I've noticed that I like about Poison is I like their verses more than their choruses.
That's interesting.
Their beginnings of their songs are just like, hell yes. And then you get to the verse and you're like, this is awesome. And then you get to the chorus and you're like,
all right.
Eh. Like, not all of them. Like, that one's a great chorus. But like some of them, you're just like, okay. You know, like one of the songs I picked kind of doesn't have. Oh, the other song I picked on this. Not the best chorus, you know.
Well, the first song I picked, and this had a great video too. And I love songs about... I love songs about touching down in a new place to try to make it. It's just always like my, you know, Welcome to the Jungle, anything like that where it's like, and so I really love Fallen Angel.
Yeah.
But you know you gotta stick to your gun.
The story doesn't end well, right? The story doesn't, it doesn't end well.
No,
right?
She falls.
She falls.
But that one has a great chorus, and that is such a powerful mm-hmm. song, and that video was awesome. Yep. I mean, they just dominated MTV for these like first three albums. It was just like constant Poison.
And I just love, I love lyrics that paint a picture with her whole life packed in a suitcase by her feet. She just, mm-hmm. you know, she stepped off the bus, boom, puts her bag down, looking all around, and here it is. Mm-hmm. Could you imagine coming out here from like the middle of the country as like a 19-year-old with just a bag on a bus and getting off like at Hollywood and Vine and being like, well, now what the fuck?
No, I can't. I mean, I went to high school here. So I went to high school right off the mm-hmm. Sunset Strip, like literally on Holloway, right behind the, right, like 2 minute walk to the old Tower Records, like right there.
Yeah.
So
I like this song too, because in the song they're writing about this girl, but they're really writing about themselves, because they just they just loaded up in a whatever station wagon and drove out here.
Those are also the kind of girls bands like.
Yeah, that's true. That's
Come
true.
Come on, baby. Let me show you how it works around in Hollywood.
But then also in the video, they cast a gorgeous girl. I mean, like just this girl didn't just step off the bus.
No.
She came from the modeling, agency. The modeling agency. All right. You have you got another song for it. And I don't remember this. I didn't remember this song that you picked. This
is
one.
That bluesy Brett Michaels thing that I like that he does. And this is one. It's called Good Love.
Oh, I know this. 1, 2, 3. Good Love. No, that's not it.
No, that's the Rascals.
All right, here we go. That's Brett on harmonica, too. To hear a little bit more.
That's pretty fun.
That's pretty great.
It?
That's fun. That's real fun.
Yeah, it's like that bluesy rock. Oh, you know what I forgot to say? You know, in Nothing But a Good Time, when he says, I just like my fun every now and then.
Mm-hmm.
When I was a kid, like, because I was like 13 or whatever, when that song, I thought it was, I just like my phone every now and then. And I'm like, why does he like his phone?
Yeah, now it would, now that lyric would work.
Now it makes sense. But why would you like a phone in 1984 or 1987, whenever that came out?
I love misheard lyrics, but you think that's the lyric for your whole life. And then when you find out it's not, and then when you sing along, sometimes I'll still sing the lyric I thought it was.
I did it on the way here. I was like, I just like my phone.
All right. I picked an obvious choice. Again, Courtney sent me her choices, so I knew what I could, what she didn't pick and what I could pick. But I, you know, Every Rose Has Its Thorn is such a great ballad. You don't like it?
It's a classic.
But do you like it?
It's okay.
You winced a little bit.
I don't love it.
Okay.
I think I'm just sick of it. I think that's why. I think I've heard it 40 billion times.
All right. Get your lighters out, folks.
All right.
We both lie silently still in the dead of the night. Although we both lie close together, we feel miles apart inside. Was it something I said or something I did? Did my words not come out right? Though I tried not to hurt you, though I tried, but I guess that's why they say every rose has its thorn, just like every night has its dawn.
I'm going to jump to 2 minutes and 20 seconds there so we can hear CeCe's solo.
Oh, okay. That's cool.
I'm going to fade it down.
It's a beautiful song. I mean, it's...
Yeah, I know, but if you're sick of it, you're sick of it. I get that.
Yeah, okay, but here's, it's beautiful.
This is a pretty great solo here.
Yeah. Yeah, this is.
Though it's been a while now, I can still feel so much pain.
It's coming up.
Like the knife that cuts you, the wound heals, but the sky, that sky. Remain.
Like if someone said to me, if someone would have said this last week, I love the solo and Every Rose Has Its Thorn, I would have said, what solo?
Uh-huh.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, I like the bridge. Like that's my favorite part.
Mm-hmm.
And the solo. That is a beautiful song. I haven't listened to it in a while because I just feel like I've heard it so many times.
Right.
And at karaoke. Karaoke will ruin a song for you.
Where are we going? The 90s. We're entering 1990 with Flesh and Blood.
Oh my God, this album is so good.
Produced by Bruce Fairbairn. And again, they're upping their game. Bruce Fairbairn produced, you know, what do I want to say? Slippery When Wet,
mm-hmm.
and New Jersey, and then Pump and Get a Grip.
Oh, wow.
And Permanent Vacation. And he produced the first four Loverboy albums. So, I mean,
cool.
They know what they want to do. They know who they want to work with. And after you sell 5 million albums, you can pick your producer.
Well, yeah, this is a wall to wall, I think. This was so hard to pick two songs because there are so many good songs on this.
Let me see if, all songs written and arranged by Poison, so they're mm-hmm. still sharing that songwriting credit. It's always just the band on the albums, and then they have like someone doing some keyboard work.
Yeah,
but cool. But that's it. That's the core. And when you go see Poison live, it's still just the guys. I don't recall them having a bunch of background singers or anything mm-hmm. augmenting it. It seems mm-hmm. like it's just the four guys.
Yeah.
Because they want all the money.
That's that too. But that's the way it should be.
The way it should be too. I hate when there's a four piece or a 5-piece band and then you go see them on in concert and there's 8 people on this. I'm like, I don't want that. I just want what's on my album cover. That's who I want.
Yeah.
All right. Here we go. They also censored this cover too.
Why? It's just a tattoo.
Right. But there's the original version had the words flesh and blood were like
bloody
because it was like, and they, I mean,
that's so stupid.
So stupid. But, like I would expect something like that nowadays, but that I wouldn't have expected this then.
No, not in 1990. All right,
Flesh and Blood. What do you got for us?
Oh my gosh. I have my favorite Poison song. Let It Play.
Here we go.
Something like that.
Come on.
Yeah.
That song.
It's just undeniable.
Oh my God, that song is so good.
I'm wondering what people are going to think when this pops up in the feed and they see that we're doing a Poison episode. Because like you said, sometimes they're a punchline. I wonder if people are going to be like, ugh, Poison, I don't care for Poison. Well, like there's going to be people that will be like, all right, fucking Poison. And then there's going to be people like, do I want to hear this?
But there's people like that with every band.
That's true.
And they've got that big tour coming up with Motley Crue and Def Leppard, which is going to be sick.
Here's my thoughts on this tour.
Yeah.
Joan's going to come out and nail it because she's going to be playing a short set.
Joan? Oh, is Joan?
Joan Jett.
Joan was on the other tour.
No, Joan Jett's first.
Oh my God. Joan live is so damn good. I just saw her at the Bowl. I saw her in Arizona open for Cheap Trick. Oh my God, I love her show.
She kills it.
Her show is great.
She's great. So she's going to come out, sets a beautiful table.
Yeah, she's going to kill it.
Poison comes out. They're no nonsense. They give you the hits. They're going to come out. Yeah. They're going to play the hits.
Which aren't their best songs.
Yeah, might throw something else in. But if you're a casual fan or if you're not
you're
a Poison
gonna
fan,
you're going to
go, this is pretty great.
Yeah, yeah.
Then Def Leppard's going to come out and kill it because they still kill it.
Yes.
And then I actually think the crew's going to have a tough time.
Oh, following Def Leppard?
I really think they're going to have a tough time.
Yeah, I've seen Def Leppard in concert quite a bit, probably more than any of those other bands.
Me too.
Besides Kiss.
Me too.
Because they just put on such a great show, and every single song is good. Every single song. I'm not like going to the bathroom and I get a bladder infection at Def Leppard because I don't leave to go to the bathroom.
And what I like about Def Leppard is when I sit there and watch them, I know that there's no, I know that they're friends. Like, I feel it. Like, I feel that these five guys are having a great time. They love each other. They really do.
Do you know who's, like, the unsung hero of Def Leppard? Is Vivian Campbell. And
oh, yeah. Yeah, he's fantastic.
He's so good. And the, I'm not being, like, name droppy or whatever, but one of my friends got me backstage. I've been backstage at Def Leppard a couple of times.
People know when they you've been on the show and we talk that you and I are lucky enough sometimes.
We're
to
lucky
get,
sometimes.
To get places that people wish they could get. We're just lucky.
And we care. Like, we want to be there.
We
want to
be there. We don't think it's like, I don't go like, who cares? I'll go. Like, I hate those people. Like, yeah, I was backstage. I didn't really care. I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Oh my God.
It's amazing.
When they walked out, they walked right by me and I looked at Rick Savage like he was a giant pork chop. I was just like, oh my God, I've loved you my whole life. My God. Like, and my friend kept making fun of me. And then he's like, do you want to meet Rick's bass tech? And I'm like, yes.
Yeah, I'll meet anyone.
Yes, I want to meet him. Yeah. And I was like, oh my God, you're so great. Like, it sounds so great, and you do great work. And you know, the bass tech, these guys work so hard. People don't know that. So I was on Vivian's side. I wasn't Viv, you know, I was on his side.
Sav.
Sav. So yeah, exactly. Sav. His pick says that.
Yeah.
I have his pick.
Of course.
And so I could hear his feed. I could his monitor and his microphone. And I'm like, damn, he has a good voice.
Wow.
I know they use backing tracks and whatever.
For some background vocals, sure.
Who the hell cares?
Yeah.
Those vocals are so hard, and the way they recorded those back in the day, it was like, you know, they recorded over themselves like 50 times. Like, they can't do that live.
Yeah, it's
so
hard.
You need it. So what? But you listen to his voice, and I was so blown away. I was like, man, he should sing more. Because they have that one song where they each sing their own part.
Yes, I love that song.
Yeah, and I can't remember what it's called, but they played it at the residency when I went in Vegas. And I'm like, Viv, tear it up.
It's on the album that came out a couple years ago that's just called Def Leppard.
Okay,
just,
that's the one. Okay.
But yeah, I like that song a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was, this was many, many years ago, but I saw that, we just mentioned his name and I forget, Vivian Campbell.
Uh-huh.
Vivian was playing with some friends down at the Molly Malone's. Is that what it's called?
Oh my God, I would have died.
And I'm like, oh, I'm going to get down there. And then he signed my X. Do you call it X or do you call it 10?
Oh.
Def Leppard. He signed that CD for me and it was super cool. I was like, hey man, big fan. He's just like, hey, nice to see you.
Yeah.
But
people don't realize he's been in the band, you know, for over 20 years.
Yeah, he seems like the new guy and he's been there.
He's been there for a long time.
Longer than... You know, then Steve Clark was in the band.
Yeah, that was unfortunate.
But
that was sad.
But they did. They picked a. You know, I feel like that's a band that they picked someone that they could get along with. Like, he wasn't just a great player, but they're like, oh, we like him as a person, and we need that in this band.
And that voice, I'm telling you, like, you know, just next time you go, keep an eye on Viv. If you're on his side, just pay extra attention.
Yeah. Cool. Mm-hmm. So. Yeah, I sure hope Motley Crue is getting in shape right now.
Yeah, I've seen Vince a lot. Actually, the Vince Neil show at the Rose was the very first time I ever got actual tinnitus. The mix was so loud.
I was there.
Oh, remember? You left, didn't you?
No. I left Ace.
Oh, you left at Ace.
No. I was backstage because my friend's brother-in-law is...
Zoltan's cousin or something, right?
Zoltan's sister-in-law.
Oh, okay, that's right.
So I was backstage the whole time. So I didn't. I was behind them.
Oh my God! Thank God, because we were. I was with two of my friends, and then their really good friend who actually has since passed away. Mm. She was sick. She had cancer.
Oh my God!
And she was weak, and they ran out of earplugs because everybody was like, "I can't fuck it," and it was so bad, and that it was hard to enjoy it. So I went and we got her like napkins and we were shoving napkins in our ears.
It's tough.
And then in the car on the way home, we couldn't have a conversation because no one could hear each other. And she got sick after that. Like it made her so weak and sick. And then my friend Marty does backline for Vince and he's like, hey, you want to come tomorrow night to the Saban? And I'm like, oh my God, I can't hear.
I can't do it.
So, but I still went.
You need to get yourself. You need to invest in some nice
earplugs. I have earplugs.
Did you forget them?
I did. I usually have some in my purse.
Yeah.
Oh no, that's not true. I had one pair and I gave it to the our friend Tina who you know had cancer.
Yeah.
And I gave it to her. I did have earplugs. I gave them to her and we were shoving napkins in our ears.
When it's that loud, it's tough.
It was hard to enjoy and we were all on the left side right underneath the speakers because I need to be as close to Dana as possible.
Yeah.
And we were like in his face, but And I asked him, I go, was that you or the club? He goes, that was us that did the mix. I go, it was uncomfortably, painfully loud.
Yeah, that's the small venues out here. I always try to remember to take my earplugs.
Have you ever had tinnitus?
I don't know.
Oh my God, it's awful. We couldn't hear each other in the car.
I mean, I've come home from shows and my wife is talking to me and I've had to say, I
had it for days. Ringing and trouble hearing, like muffled hearing. It was really weird. I was like, whoa.
Yeah, the first time I saw Iron Maiden in 2015, and that was at the Forum, and it was, and I had it at the Forum.
Oh,
I mean,
it
was so loud.
Whoa, because those guys are deaf, because they're old.
I know.
They're deaf.
And then I said this a couple weeks ago, the loudest show I was ever at was at the Fonda. It was Adam Ant. It was, I know, right? Who knew? But I was on the floor close and it was so loud.
Adam Ant, that's weird.
I know it is. But it was so piercing. Yeah, it was terrible.
Yeah, and just really quick, I know we're talking about Poison, but everyone who says, oh, Vince didn't sound good. Vince sounded great. Both times I saw him that week, he sounded great. And then I saw him again. After the Dirt came out, they did they did some shows. And I was just like, dude, where is everybody? We were at the Rose and there was no one there. I'm like, is everyone?
I'm a big Vince basher, but that night he sounded great. But Vince Neil playing 20 songs a night. He only did 10 songs that night.
It was I think he did less. It was a short,
very
set.
Short set.
Yeah.
He's very heavy.
Yeah.
And this is a major stadium tour where you're following three solid bands. I don't care if Tommy's drum risers on a merry-go-round or what. You need to get it together. This thing, because as soon as those videos hit YouTube, it's going to be tough. Because did you see the David Lee Roth videos from his Vegas residency?
No, but he's opening for Kiss. I'm going to see him.
Wait, do you go watch some of those videos a chance?
It's not good.
No.
Oh no! I love DLR.
I know, but he's just not. Here's what
Yeah.
David Lee Roth cracks me up because he's kept his body in tip-top physical shape.
He's a good-looking dude.
But the thing that makes him money, he has not kept that in shape. His voice.
That's a bummer.
It is a bummer.
It's hard for, I think it's really hard. Pat and I could talk for days, by the way, about our same taste in music. But I think after, it's like with Paul Stanley, it's like after all these years and hitting all those high notes and screaming to all those, although Biff from Saxon sounds pretty damn good for 69 years old or whatever. But, and Sammy Hagar too, he sounded unbelievable when I saw him. I just think, it's got to be just harder for, Elton John had throat surgery. And
it's tough.
Yeah, it's got to be tough. I can't imagine.
Anyway, fingers crossed for Motley Crue is all I'm saying because they're not following three no-name bands. They're following
three
multi-huge
platinum.
Any of those bands could do a headline tour.
Well, the guy who did the vocals for The Dirt, he's the lead singer of a Motley Crue cover band, tribute band, and the bass player is actually the bass player for Atomic Punks, which is the Van Halen cover band.
Correct.
And the lead singer of this band, I think, also replaced Ralph/Michael Starr from Steel Panther. He used to be the lead singer of Atomic Punks.
Yes, he was great.
Yeah, oh my God.
So good.
Yeah, he's great. And so they did Motley Crue at this Oktoberfest, and we went because my friend's favorite band is Motley Crue. So, we went to see the tribute band. They were unbelievably good. They were so good. And then the guys, they're like, this guy did all the vocals for Vince Neil in The Dirt, and it was spot on, I thought. And I'm thinking,
that guy's going to be getting a call in May.
That's what I think. I think they're going to be like, dude, you got to come out. Help us out. Maybe they double up vocals and they have him there because he literally sounds exactly like Vince.
Yeah.
I was really impressed. It was good.
We will see. We will see what happens when Crue hits the road. You're going to that show, I assume.
Oh my God, yeah. Absolutely.
I'll only go if I can get free tickets.
I wish I could get free tickets to that one.
Flesh and Blood. That's where we're at. We didn't really take a turn. We talked music.
We did.
This is Ride the Wind.
Yeah.
Hearts of fire. Streets of stone. Modern warriors. Saddle-lined horses of chrome. Taste the wild. Lick the wind. Like something never saw before. Their jaws dropping to the floor. Steel made of soul and sin. Rebels fall without a care.
Just when you're getting into it, we have to fade it down.
Oh, I love that song. It's such a good song.
I always wonder if people that listen to the show are like, no, don't fade it. No, play the rest.
But then they go buy the song.
They go buy the song. That's for sure. They go buy the song.
You should buy this album. Even if you've never listened to Poison,
Flesh and Blood's a pretty great album.
Fun rock and roll record.
What's your next song off Flesh and Blood? 3x platinum. Didn't sell as much as Open Up and Say Ah, but it was the 90s. Nirvana ruined music in the 90s. Grunge ruined it.
They didn't ruin it. But people like me were still listening to this and buying this.
People like me and you still listen to this.
Yeah, we still listen to this. I mean, I'm going to listen to this whole record on my way home. The song that I chose second was Life Loves a Tragedy.
Let's see if it does.
She's a
See, I could have just kept letting that one play.
Oh, this song's so good. And it's one of those Poison songs where they like doing that thing where, because the first minute of the song is like all acoustic.
Yeah.
You know, and they have those things where, you know, they're talking in the studio or they've got like this acoustic beginning, you know, kind of like rock bottom.
Yeah.
I know I keep referring to Kiss, but I know you know exactly
That's okay.
what I mean.
We know. People know.
People know
They
rock
expect
bottom.
It. They expect Courtney's on the show. There's going to be some Kiss talk.
But I love that when there's like this really beautiful acoustic beginning and you're like, oh, this is pretty. And then you're like, oh, baby, we're not done yet. Bam. And then like that guitar comes in and the drums and it's like boom, 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 boom. And I love that song.
Yeah. The drums sounded great on that.
Oh my gosh. That's such a good one.
All right. My second song is an obvious choice, but I really do really, really love this song. It's a ballad. It's something to believe in, but I really think that Brett really has a lot of maturity in these lyrics, talking and singing about some serious subject matter here, you know, suicide and veterans. And I mean, it's, look, if this is every other Bon Jovi song, but this was new for Poison.
Yeah.
Okay, so something to believe in.
My best friend died a lonely man in some Palm Springs hotel room. I got the call last Christmas Eve and they told me the news. I tried all night not to break down and cry as tears rolled down my face. I felt so cold and empty. Like a lost soul out of place. And the mirror on the wall. See my smiling face again. I give me something to believe in. I give me something to tell the Lord.
Yeah, I just love it.
I could hear Bon Jovi singing that song.
Yeah.
It's very Bon Jovi, yeah.
What a great Bon Jovi double bill. Bryan Adams opening for Bon Jovi this summer.
Did you see the Bryan Adams Def Leppard tour?
Yes, I did.
The old Verizon.
I saw it at the minor league baseball stadiums. They did that many, many years ago when I first moved out here. But
that worked.
Yeah, it really did work because I was like, this kind of doesn't go together. Oh no, it does.
Bryan Adams, yep. Showman.
Yep, and they've both been produced by Mutt Lang, so they had that connection.
Oh,
and,
cool.
Yeah, so there's, you know, every summer I think, wow, there's a lot of tours. This summer it seems like there's a ton of tours.
I'm going to be broke because Squeeze is coming too in the spring with Hall & Oates.
With Hall & Oates to the Hollywood Bowl.
And they're doing their own shows. I just bought my Hollywood Bowl tickets yesterday and I don't buy tickets. I'm not one of those people that's a months in advance ticket person. But Squeeze at the Bowl is like, Squeeze is one of my absolute favorite bands. They're tied for first place with Crowded House. Those are my two favorite bands of all time since I was in middle school. Like, I love them. So I'm just like beside myself. And
it's going to be great.
On their nights off from Hall & Oates, they're playing smaller venues.
That's a good double bill too.
Great double bill.
The on my drive in today, my friend Amy sent me a message. The Go-Go's are playing at the Orpheum.
Oh, dude, I'm so there. When's that?
June 30th and July 1st.
Oh my God, I'm going to have no money September.
I don't have a connection at the Orpheum and... And Kathy Valentine's been on the show, but she's usually not able to get me tickets because they know so many people in LA.
Yeah, because they're an LA band. Yeah.
So I think those go on sale Friday. I'm definitely buying Go-Go's tickets.
Oh, I'm gonna go to that. Yeah.
Because when they played the Hollywood Bowl, I think 2 years ago.
I was there.
4th of July weekend.
Yeah, I was
but
there.
Gina was sick and she wasn't
she
there.
She was sick and her tech played and he did a great job.
He did a great job, but I've still never seen, that was the first time I saw the Go-Go's. So I still haven't seen all of them. So
that was one of my first concerts. My first concert was the Beach Boys. My second concert was the Go-Go's with INXS when no one knew who INXS was.
Oh my God. Did INXS open?
Yes.
Wow.
And as a little kid, I'm like, this is fucking awesome. Oh, sorry. I'm like,
you can say fuck on this show.
I was like, this is fucking awesome. Like, even as a little kid, I'm like, who is this band? Oh my God. You know,
I'm so sad that Michael Hutchins is not with us so that we could go see INXS and Hall & Oates and Squeeze and all. That you know they'd be touring every summer.
People who've never seen Squeeze, I'm telling you right now, they sound better than ever.
That's what Siegel said.
Mike and I had a ball at Squeeze. I mean, I felt bad for him because I'm so into Squeeze that I'm so nerdy that like during Love's Crashing Waves, there were like four people standing up and I was one of them.
we'll try to get that Squeeze episode done closer to the start of the tour.
Oh my gosh.
See, I have a Hollywood Bowl connection as of last summer. So,
ooh, lucky.
I'm hoping to score.
You need to come to that. Hall & Oates, oh my gosh, they're great live too. I mean,
well, I know Hall & Oates management, they've got me tickets like the last four times Hall & Oates have come through. So I won't go to them again, but I won't go to that well yet a fifth time, but Hall & Oates is great.
Oh, fantastic.
All right, moving on. 1993. We got some changes in the lineup.
Oh, we both didn't pick Unskinny Bop. I just realized that.
I don't know what that song's about. I feel like it. Is that about sleeping with heavier women?
I think so.
Yeah, I don't know why. I mean, it's catchy, but then when I hear the lyrics, I'm like, I don't really care for this.
Nice harmonies, though.
Yeah.
Good chorus.
Here, I'll play this real quick. This was, they had a live album out in 1991 called Swallow This Live, and they did have one studio track called So Tell Me Why. But the production stinks. It's all muddy.
I can barely hear him.
I know. It's produced by Poison.
He's in the basement and he locked the cellar door. I can't hear him.
Actually, I guess there were four new studio tracks on this album.
Oh.
Souls on Fire, Only Time Will Tell, and No More Looking Back. All right. Some bands can't produce themselves. There's proof.
It's hard to see yourself.
Yeah. Some bands need that outside force.
Yeah. So now we're getting to the Kotzen years.
We're getting to the Richie Kotzen. This is Native Tongue, produced by Richie Zito. This album went gold. 1993, though, to go gold, Poison, that's respectable.
Totally.
Richie Zito produced the first Bad English album, a couple of Cheap Trick albums, Heart albums, the Big Eddie Money comeback albums. So, yeah. So they hooked up with a good producer.
Oh, this album's fantastic. This last one, Flesh and Blood and Native Tongue are the two just standouts. Mm-hmm. Go listen to them, you guys. Listen to this.
And, I mean, on paper, or for me, Richie Kotzen is a better guitarist than CeCe. But
he's a different guitarist, yeah.
I think he's better. But I don't know that he doesn't work as well in Poison as CeCe does. Does that make sense?
CeCe is
he's
Poison.
CeCe's Poison.
Yeah. I mean, this was probably a tough time for CeCe. I know they asked him to leave the band and he was having issues personally. And, you know, you saw that documentary where he's like, it used to be the house of whores and now it's the house of horrors. You know, and
I remember that line too.
Remember that?
From Behind the Music. It's so good.
Yeah. But then, you know, he struggled and he got it together. Yep. I have so much respect for people who get sober and make do the work.
The Eagles getting back together probably saved Joe Walsh's life, because they said the only way they would do it with him is if he got clean, and he did. And that's over 20 years ago easily.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did you ever hear CeCe's Samantha 7 album?
No.
I'll send it to you.
Okay. I'll listen to that.
It's produced by Jack Blades.
Okay, cool.
CeCe's on lead vocal on all the tracks. It's a trio. I love it. I think it's so fun.
Okay.
I'll send it to you. I'll try to remember to do that later tonight. Okay, so I don't love this album because
My God, I love it.
There's too many songs. 15 songs
is
too
long.
Many.
Yeah, it's
too many
long.
Songs. I think I'd like it better if it was 10 or 11. But what's your first song?
The obvious. I picked Stand.
Yeah, and I picked Stand too. So we both like Stand.
Yeah.
And it's great. So here we go. See, but you can tell that's not CeCe.
No.
You know what I mean? It's so different.
We all carry the cross and speak what we're taught.
It's twangy. Love it.
It is.
Become the white man's God. We've burned all our bridges one too many times. The time has come now to draw the line. You know you got to stand.
So good.
Speaking of the Eagles, Timothy B. Schmidt does backing vocals on this album.
Oh, that's cool.
Sheila E. plays percussion on a couple of tracks.
Who's the woman doing the backup vocals on this song? Because it's badass.
Maybe it's not a... The first AME church choir?
Oh, that's right. There's a choir.
Yeah.
Richie Kotzen is friends with the guy I produced my show with Izzy Presley. And he has he has a podcast called Another FM Podcast. And Richie was on it. And he was talking about this album because he wrote the whole thing pretty much with Brett Michaels.
Yep.
And he was saying that like they gave him total creative control. He could do pretty much whatever he wanted. And that's why it was so much fun. And I it is definitely different. Like if you were to play that song for somebody and go, guess which band that this is, they wouldn't go Poison.
They wouldn't say Poison at all because it doesn't sound like Poison at all.
It doesn't. It doesn't sound Poison-y, but the songs I think are appropriate for the time.
Yeah.
And I think the melodies are beautiful. And I like Richie Kotzen's solo stuff. He doesn't like my comedy, but
how do you know that? Did he tell you?
Oh my God.
Someone tell you?
I bombed in front of him once.
Then that doesn't mean he doesn't like your comedy.
Oh my God.
He saw you on a bad night.
He was looking at me like, and I saw him immediately. I'm like looking at the crowd and I'm like, oh my God, there's Richie Kotzen.
Because he's good looking.
He's a good looking dude.
Yeah.
And he's right in the middle. And I'm like, oh my God, there's Richie Kotzen. I'm a fan of his. And I'm looking at him and I'm just looking. He was looking at me like with anger and rage. Like he was just like, get off the stage.
Oh,
he
no.
didn't smile or anything. I was so bummed because after the show, I wanted to be like, hey, I'm a really big fan. I wanted to meet you and say hi, but I was like avoiding him because I bombed so bad. in front of him.
That's the worst, when you bomb, when you do stand up and you bomb, and then you just don't want to, you want to avoid everybody.
It was an everybody bomb night. You know, it was like just one of those bad nights, right, where it just sucked. And it was just like brutal. But I remember him looking at me with just contempt. And I was just like so disappointed. And my heart was broken. And then like there was a party after that show for like another band that I'm friendly with. And they were, Enough's Enough. And they were over at the Viper Room. And he came there with one of the other guys. I forget which band he's in. But they came over and they were just like avoiding me. Like they didn't even want to make eye contact with me. And I'm like, oh my God, my heart is broken. But and Richie, terrible. You might hate my comedy, but I love
your music.
But
she still loves you, Richie.
I love your music. I think you're amazing.
All right. Well, I had Stand also, so I'm going to jump to Strike Up the Band. This also doesn't sound like Poison.
Not at all. Now it does.
Yeah. When we strike up the band. It's heavy though. That's a heavy, chunky guitar there. That was my guitar impression. All right, Courtney, you got one more off Native Tongue.
Oh my gosh, this song is amazing. 7 days Over You. Wasting my time by this telephone line, waiting on your call to come through. I should be already over you. Tell me, mama, what can I do?
Seven days over you. Yeah. 7 days, 7 days over you.
That piano.
That is some keyboard.
That song is a hit. I'm not a record producer. I'm not a music business person, but that song is a hit. I really believe that. If that song came out on the radio, like that song's a hit. That's an encore song for me. I don't even know if they play this live anymore. I know they did like when they were touring with this album, but like, oh my God, that song is... I just think it's so amazing. And then I read this interview with Brett, and he said that when they were writing it, he said at first it was just me and Richie singing the chorus, and then Zito suggested that they bring in the first church choir. And then he said, I was negative, and then until I heard all 35 of them singing in the little room, and I was blown away. That's what he said. So yeah, that song is just, it has so many parts, you know, it's got so many, you know, it's like one of those Poison things he likes. Let's start it off slow and then let's hit him in the face. And it's like,
you would think that the success of Foreigner's I Want to Know What Love Is would have opened anyone up to having a choir brought in for one of their songs.
The choirs are a good thing.
It's good. It's good. Especially if you're a band of a certain ilk, or if you're in a box that people think you're in, like maybe a Poison, to add a choir there really opens it up to people being like, wow, that's really... That's something amazing.
Yeah, so. not like a castrated boys choir. Right. You can't always get what you want, but like that soulful, like, you know, female voice. Like, this song is a 100% winner.
I like this album cover too. I know I don't know if the brown jumps off the LP racks, but I do like it. I do. It goes with the Native Tongue.
It's still better than Open Up and Say Ugh.
Open up and say, ugh.
I can open up and say, ugh. I don't know who's deciding on the art direction for Poison, but they need to have a talk with that person.
Yeah. Oh, even worse, go look at the Brett Michaels solo album covers that he releases. Jesus Christ. It's like someone photoshopping. It's terrible. They're terrible.
Oh,
he uses like the same photo a lot too. It's just his blue eyes and a bandana. It's awful. Okay, so now we're coming up to... This is kind of this is an oddity. This is Crack a Smile.
Okay, yeah.
And this was recorded in 94, 95, produced by John Purdell and Dwayne Barron. They produced Ozzy's No More Tears album. And then it wasn't released until 2000. And Richie Kotzen is kicked out of the band because he sleeps with one of the guys.
Ricky Rocket's fiance.
Sleeps with Ricky Rocket's fiance. Did they break up then?
I don't know what the whole thing is, but he said on the podcast that I heard this a while ago, but he said that it was like blown out of proportion and it really wasn't as big of a deal as everybody thought it was. And that he's still really good. He's still friendly with everyone in the band.
Okay.
But I can see how that could have happened.
Oh, in the behind the music, they said they just drive the bus to the side of the road and kick them out, right?
Is that what happened?
I think that's what they say in behind the music.
Oh, then he must be downplaying it because it's humiliating.
Yeah.
Well,
because in the middle of nowhere, you just get kicked out the highway with your bag.
Someone was probably telling jokes on the bus and he was staring at them blank faced with contempt. He has no sense of humor. That's really too bad. Well, he must have messed up really bad because the guy writes a good song. I mean, he writes a beautiful song.
And then he moves on to take over Paul Gilbert's place in Mr. Big for a couple of albums.
Oh, I didn't know he was in Mr. Big.
Oh, yeah, yeah. He's on. I like the albums that he does with Mr. Big.
Oh, I got to listen to that now.
He's on two of those, yeah.
I got to listen to that
now. And Richie Zito produces the one. I think it's called, what's it called? It's a play on
Matt Starr from Ace Frehley Bands and Mr. Big.
I forget. But anyway, so this comes out in 2000. The guitarist is a guy I've never heard of. I never heard of him before, and I've never really heard of him since. Blues Saraceno is the guy's name?
Nope.
You know who that is?
Nope. And this album is not my favorite.
I only like one song on this album.
I had trouble finding two.
And we both picked it.
Yeah.
So I'm going to play that one right now, if you don't mind.
No, let's do it.
Tragically Unhip, but it's a great tune.
It's got good lyrics. Yeah, I like it.
I can read a little bit about Blues Saraceno. Saraceno's high profile as a gifted guitar virtuoso and musician opened the doors to an early career as a first call guitar sideman and session musician. Saraceno is most often recognized from his time playing with Jack Bruce and Ginger Baker.
Oh my God. Okay.
Yeah, the guy's only 48 years old right now,
so
born in 71. Yeah. And his brief tenure with the rock band Poison. If anyone out there has ever seen Blues Saraceno tour with Poison, I'd love to know how that was. Because he doesn't seem like the go-to choice. It's just, I don't know.
Well, session musicians, that's a hard job to get.
Yeah.
And you got to play all that different stuff. He must be very versatile.
Yeah. So I don't know. Do you want to play anything else off this album?
No Ring, No Gets is like fun.
All right,
but
we'll play it.
But this is not my favorite.
Yeah, me neither.
It's manufactured. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I like that one.
Yeah, that's good.
That's the most Poison-y song on this record, I thought. Like, I could hear that would fit on Look What the Cat Dragged In.
Absolutely. And then I don't know. Then I don't know what really happened with Poison. It seems like a lot of inactivity from.
Well, Brett went solo right here, right?
Yeah, he goes solo, and you know he holds all the cards really because he can go out. He can go out as the Brett Michaels Band and play all these Poison songs.
Yep.
And they're probably going to sound pretty good.
That's why I like the Vince Neil Band because it's Slaughter and Zoltan's exciting.
Yeah.
And so that's just a fun show.
Yeah. So the other guy, because the other guys in Poison. To my knowledge, I don't know what they do when Poison, like I know Ricky Rocket is a big, activist and stuff, but I don't know what they do to make a living when Poison isn't doing something. You know what I'm saying?
They probably still have money left over from the first three albums.
I hope since they share writing credit, they probably do because these songs pop up in a lot of movies and stuff. So
all the time. Nothing But a Good Time is in like 50 movies.
Yeah. So they've got some mailbox money for sure.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, again, Brett holds the cards.
He does. Yeah.
But, so in 2000, they release an album called Power to the People.
Yes.
Which is his live album. CeCe's back. That was basically telling everyone, hey, Poison's back with CeCe. Here's a live album. And then there's five studio tracks. And I like every single one of those studio tracks.
I do too. They're good.
They're really good. Like when I heard those tracks after, you know, Crack a Smile, I was just like, wow.
They're better than anything on Crack a Smile.
Yeah, better than anything on Crack a Smile. So what do you got for us? You got Can't Bring Me Down.
Yeah.
Let's hear it.
My baby don't get it, so my job I quit it. Bust my ass, hell, I barely get paid. People like to put me down, and just because I hang around, don't they understand it's my way? I say, everybody tries to break me, say they love me when they hate me, baby, you just can't bring me down.
Good rock and roll song, yeah.
So good. I'm going to jump into, there's one here. This is the first time CeCe gets a lead vocal. And it's a song called I Hate Every Bone in Your Body But Mine.
It's funny.
In one ear and out the other, told myself this girl is trouble.
Now this is exactly what CeCe's solo album sounds like.
That's awesome.
It's really, I love the feel of it.
You know,
his Samantha 7 album, that's what it sounds like.
He's the Michael Anthony of Poison with those backing vocals.
Yeah.
Like, it just like, where are you, CeCe? Oh, you're back. Yeah. Oh my God, it sounds so good.
And you wouldn't think with the way his speaking voice is that the backing vocals would be like that.
No, I mean, you know what? If that was like from like 1979, 1980, I could hear him like fronting like a punk band you know, some like super power, like some super like power poppy kind of band with that voice. I love it.
Well, I can't wait then for you to hear this Samantha 7.
I'm going to like it, I think. Yeah.
Richie Zito produced the studio tracks on Power to the People. And this is another one because I love these songs. This is called The Last Song.
When I lost my way, you were my light. When the others wronged me, you did me right. When I look in your eyes, don't tell me lies. You tell me the truth, your words they get me through. This is all I've got, this is all I say. If this were my last day, this is my last song. It's all I got. If I bear my soul, don't you break my heart. Won't you sing along? This is my last song. It's all I got. So don't you break my heart.
give me something to believe in.
Maybe that's why I like it.
Yeah, it sounds like something to believe in.
All right, so moving on, 2002, and this is the last proper original studio album from Poison. 2000, that's 18 years ago.
That's crazy.
These guys haven't made, these guys haven't written and recorded new music as a band in 18 years. They're going to do a, they do a covers album. We'll talk about that in a minute.
Oh yeah, it's so good.
But this is, this album's called Hollyweird, and I was excited when it came out because it had been so long since, because I liked those last five songs so much that I was so excited for this album. And it has some moments, but it's not, it's
it
not,
can't follow the other
it's
one.
It's not great. Yeah, it's not great. What do you got for us off of Hollyweird?
I got Devil Woman in the beginning is the best part.
All right, here we go.
Mr. Rocket, give me some drums. Inside your head, you feel her take control and she steals your soul. She's a
Lord, then put me away.
She's a loaded old piles, and it's no surprise.
You hear it?
With
yes.
Loaded gun. She's a killer queen, and she'll lick you clean. Then she'll spit you out when she's gone. Devil woman, evil woman.
Oh, there's cowbell on that. We just did a cowbell episode.
There's some cowbell.
Yeah. Way to go, Ricky Rocket.
That's a cool song. The beginning is awesome.
That yeah, I do like that song too. That's a good one. And I went with a song called, because I just think this is fun, this song off Hollyweird 2002. This is called Wishful Thinking.
In Hollywood, gonna be a big rock star. He could play a million riffs on this guitar. Now, work two jobs, can't get a break. Takes little white pills to stay awake. No record deal, just make him scream. Wasn't like this in his dream. Wishful thinking. Give it to me, give it to me, give it to me, give it to me, good. Wishful thinking. Let's go.
That is so 90s
I know.
Rock.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
90s rock in 2002.
Yeah.
Your next one is Stupid, Stoned, and Dumb.
It's funny.
Let's hear it.
It's clever.
I'm about as sad as they come. Yeah, I'm stupid, stoned, and dumb. I'm a pretty pitiful sight. Maybe I can't get myself right. Boy, I can't get this girl out of my head. I just know she's got another man in a bed. They said, Brett, let us give you some advice. In Hollywood, love don't come easy, it comes at a price. So your girlfriend is a dance, she makes love for money. You just look in the green, really think you love the love. So two ways street, you gotta hit by the bus. Go and break your heart, boy. Don't feel ashamed.
CC sings three songs on this. He sings Emperor's New Clothes, Living in the Now. And the album closes out with two songs called Home. One's called CC's Story, and CC sings that. And one's called Brett's Story, and he sings that. And they both same music, different lyrics. And it's fun. It's interesting.
I didn't get that far. I stopped at Stupid, Stoned, and Dumb.
The last song on the album was the was released as the first single, like way in advance of the album. This is called Rockstar.
Limousines, champagne.
Typical lyrics.
Get my clothes custom made. I take handfuls of pills, trash my house in the hills. Smash up my car just to give me my thrills. I'm rolling around the world. I'm gonna do me about a million. I wanna be a big rock star. Yeah,
So nothing groundbreaking here.
I want to be a cowboy. You can be my cowgirl. It's okay. Yeah, I like it.
It's fine.
I mean, it's just the other ones are so good that you're expecting that same like melodic, like great guitar openings where you're just like, I could listen to the beginnings of like so many Poison songs and then just stop them there and be cool.
And because, be cool. Be satisfied.
So good.
Now, do you think, okay, it's been 18 years. Do you think that Poison will ever make new Poison music? Or is that ship sailed for them? Do they not want to do it?
Nobody buys music anymore.
I know.
Everybody's, you know, I buy tickets. I buy music. Yeah. Like I support the bands I love because I want them to keep going and keep, you know, coming back because their music makes me happy. So I feel like, you know, if they were to make a new song, then I think it's going to determine, you know, after this tour that they do, like, you know, people might want some new music and maybe afterwards at merch, they're selling a CD of like two new songs and you can only get it
at the show,
at the merch. And that would be smart because I would buy it.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you?
I would. Yeah. Look, if they released a full album, I would buy it.
Yeah. If it was like two new songs and then like two live cuts, you know, of like, you know, whatever, everybody's going to buy that.
I feel in the digital age that you don't have to,
or jump drive, whatever, you get a little jump drive.
But like, I feel like a band could just release an album just digitally with no physical element at all. I mean, I still love the physical stuff, but you know what I'm saying?
I do too.
And doesn't that cut out a lot of your production cost?
Tons. But I feel like as soon as your song gets online, everybody goes to Spotify and listens to it and the band gets paid 0.00002 cents. Like, and you know, I always feel bad, like, you know, like if I use Spotify, which I do sometimes, the songs that I play, I also own them on iTunes. I just like Spotify.
You just play it. That's your preferred method of playing.
Well, I make most of my mixes I've made on Spotify.
Yeah.
So before I switch to Apple Music.
All right, here we go. 2007. It's not new Poison music, but it's a covers album. I love the title, Poisoned, with apostrophe D. They took these songs and they poisoned them. So they made them their own. I'm not a fan of covers records. There's only a few that I truly like.
Enough's Enough has an amazing covers album.
I've never heard that one.
Oh my God, it's so good. They do Believe It or Not. You know,
and who's singing on that album? Is it
Donnie V?
Donnie V.
Mm-hmm.
And
there's one song that Chip does. He does The Stroke,
but
which is good.
Donnie's not in Enough's Enough right now.
No, Chip's Enough's the lead singer now.
Why don't Chip and Donnie, they don't get along?
I don't know. You know, I really don't know. But have you heard Donnie's solo album that came out?
I did not.
I'm giving it to you because it was my favorite album of the year. Mm-hmm. It is one of the best new albums I've heard by somebody I've loved for a long time. Pretty much one of the best I've ever heard.
See, so you will still buy music.
I do.
From artists you love. And so
actually,
do I.
I did the you know, the
liner notes?
No, not the liner notes, but
artwork. You did the artwork?
I did the artwork. No, I did the you know, you like pay in advance and you buy your copy in advance.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. Pledge Music.
I did Pledge Music for that album.
Yeah.
And I was so glad. And then he said, everybody who did pledge for the album, send me your picture, and I'm putting everyone's pictures on the cover. And I missed that email to everybody because I could have been on the cover of the cover. Donnie V album, and I love him so much. Pat, I'm going to send it to you, and then you're going
to
call me after you listen
to it
and be like, oh my God, thank you for this.
Send it. I'll listen to it.
Okay.
Okay, so they picked some cool songs for their covers album. I will give them that. What's the first one that we're going to hear that you picked?
I picked the obvious, the video, What I Like About You.
This is a song by the Romantics.
Yeah.
Here we go. Big time producer on this album. Don Was produced this album.
I know. Okay, cool.
So that's pretty cool. When I picked this album up and I saw who produced it, I'm like, how did they get hooked up with Don Was? It just doesn't seem like Poison would be on Don Was's radar, is what I want to say.
But they, you know, they did that song, you know, they didn't like change it up too much. No. They just made that guitar a little heavier and those drums a little heavier and that's it. I mean, the backing vocals sound great. Brett's, you know, singing it.
Yeah, sounds
good. Just the way he would sing, and I think it's a great cover. That's a hard song to cover because it's so iconic.
It is iconic. It, a lot of these are iconic.
Yeah, but I think they nail that one. I think it's really good.
I mentioned Sweet earlier, and so I'm going to play their cover of Little Willie. It felt like I wanted to play this one because I feel like Poison would call Sweet an influence for sure. Mm-hmm. So here we go. Here we go. Where is it? Oh. Some reason it got turned down here. Well, that stays in. You know I don't edit, people. Here we go.
Good.
We talked about Def Leppard a lot today. Do you like Def Leppard's covers album? Yeah.
I've never heard it.
Come on.
I'm not even kidding.
Y-E-A-H. It's them on the front.
I don't know it. I've only heard them do that one cover of... they do it in concert,
I might have to send you another
kids,
thing.
Kids rock and roll. That's the only cover I've ever heard them do.
Yeah, that's on the covers album. I might have to send you that too.
You need to send me that. I can't believe I didn't even know it existed. I'm such a bad Def Leppard fan.
You're not.
That was so bad of me.
All right, this is an interesting one that you picked for your next song. Tell us what this is.
This is Marshall Tucker Band.
Brett wears a cowboy hat, so
he does, and this is Can't You See, which is a song I really love. So.
Climb a mountain, the highest mountain, Lord. I'm gonna jump off, ain't nobody gonna know. Can't you see? Oh, can't you see what that woman, Lord, she been doing to me? Can't you see?
Oh,
that's a good version.
Such a good song. I think they sound great.
I'm enjoying this record more than I thought I did.
Yeah.
Now that we're listening to these with the headphones on. If you purchase this album at Walmart, you got the exclusive track, the Justin Timberlake Sexy Back.
This is actually fun.
I'm not playing it.
Oh, okay. It's fun. It's not Poison at all.
No. This song, I picked this song. It's Grand Funk Railroad.
Yeah.
Poison is definitely an American band, so I wanted to play We're an American Band.
Out on the road for 40 days. Last night, a little while for me in a haze. Sweet, sweet Connie, she's doing her act. She stole the whole show, and that's a natural fact. Up all night.
Yeah, it sounds great.
It does sound good.
Grand Funk.
which is Bruce Kulick's band now.
Bruce Kulick is in Grand Funk. And did you know that they're... I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, you didn't.
Bruce is recording and touring with the guys that played with him on the Kiss Cruise.
Oh, really?
Which is Zach Throne, Todd Kearns, and Brant Fitz.
So Bruce is doing a solo album with these guys. Is that what you mean?
Yeah.
Very nice.
And Todd Kearns is... I know this is a hacky thing to say, but he could sing the phone book and I would buy it.
And there's not a nicer guy than Bruce Kulick.
Oh my God, Bruce Kulick is like the sweetest person ever. I'm actually producing this roast right now and I have to have all these like musicians do roasts. And Bruce just couldn't even do it. He's like,
he can't do it. He can't be
like,
mean.
Happy birthday. You're amazing. You're such a great person. Like, it was just so nice. And I'm like,
it.
Oh, you know what? Bruce is Bruce. Like, it's cool.
So let me tell you about Poison one more time. I'm going to tell you that there's 9 new tracks out of the 14. There's 9 new ones. Don Was produced all those. And then they augmented the rest of the tracks with covers that they did that had appeared previously. Like Squeeze Box, Your Mama Don't Dance.
Mama Don't Dance, yeah.
You Don't Mess Around With Jim. And one that's going to be our playout song. But before we go, let's do some quick promoting. Courtney, where can we find all things Courtney Cronin Dold?
Oh, I'm on Instagram, Court Crow, CourtCro, Dold. And I'm on Twitter once in a while. Murray just walked in.
Murray's
and hi, Murray. And I'm on the Facebook with just my name. And I really just post about concerts, basketball, and comedy, and wine.
Will you accept random friend requests, like if listeners want to be your friend?
Okay, good. Of course. I would love it because that's what I want to do. I want to go to your page and mm-hmm. comment about music you're posting. And I've learned about so many bands, A, from this podcast. David Ace G, you know, turned me on to fastball, and I go on these fastball benders like
that,
where I can't stop. Like,
oh, that you made his day.
Oh my God,
you made his day.
I love fastball because of him.
Also, if you live in the Los Angeles area and you're at a concert and you happen to see Courtney, go up and say hello, right?
Yes, please. I would love that. That'd be so nice.
Excellent. We can be found at rocksolidpodcast.com. We are on Twitter at rocksolidshow. Kyle is at kyle.dotsonfunny. Kyle does the Instagram. And I guess that's it. That's all we got today. I got a playout song. You love Kiss. I love Kiss. Murray does not like Kiss.
Murray does not love Kiss.
But we're going to play one more Poison cover. It's called Rock and Roll All Night.
This is good.
Courtney, thank you so much for driving all this way and being here this early. And I really, really do appreciate it.
Thank you for having me. I love your show.
Here we go. Thank you.
Mr. Rocket. Thank you. Whoa!